May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So happy Thanksgiving. It's whether you celebrate Thanksgiving today or yesterday or tomorrow, it's good to spend time giving thanks. Our Psalm 66, shout for joy to God all the earth, sing the glory of his name. And that's what we've done already. As we gather in church, we begin in praise and we sing three songs, which is not very many, because I think in heaven we'll be singing all sorts of songs forever and eternity. We shout for joy and we praise God. It's interesting when you think about Thanksgiving and what it means to be thankful. If you take time to talk to people later about what you're thankful for, there's probably all sorts of things. And we recognize that life is full of highs and lows. And for any of us, at any moment, we have both, on the one hand, things to be thankful for and places where we're suffering loss. And as church, we hold those two things at all times. I tend to be more aware, because it kind of comes with my job, of the things that we're not thankful for, the things that we're praying for and hoping for and longing for, of the despair, of the illness, of the death, of those kinds of things that go on in life. I tend to be more aware of those. And I think that really is what the gospel reading is getting to. Because if you look at the gospel reading, only one out of 10 that were healed came back and gave God thanks. For a lot of us, I think that's true as well. We can find that we knock on the door of heaven in prayer. We have other people, maybe, if we're not a prayer ourselves, we ask other people, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And then the moment that we're healed, we kind of forget to give thanks to God. I know I do that too. And so I think it's good today to stop, as we've heard both the psalm that encourages us to give thanks in all things and to praise God, to also acknowledge that sometimes we're like the 9 people who were healed and didn't come back. Let's have a look at that story. Last week, do you remember what the sermon was about? Thank you. That was good. Those of you who aren't always here, I sometimes ask a question and then nobody answers. So I'm really grateful that 5 people were listening last week. And remember, it was the Good Samaritan. Yay! So we're talking about the Good Samaritan, and today we find ourselves again in the same kind of area, on the way to Jerusalem. So the Good Samaritan story happens on the way back from Jerusalem, and now, because we're kind of backwards, we're going to Jerusalem with Jesus. He's traveling along. He's in a village. 10 men had leprosy, which was a very bad skin condition. It wasn't necessarily leprosy as we know it today. It was a more general term for a skin condition. Anything that affected the skin, it could have been called leprosy. So he meets these folks, and they stood at a distance. Why do they stand at a distance? Well, if you had leprosy, there was a sense that you were unclean, and you didn't want to catch it. A bit like if someone says to you, hi, I've got a bit of a cold, and you take a step back. And that was how it would be for the folks with leprosy. So they knew, and they stood at a distance from Jesus. They called out in a loud voice, which suggests maybe the distance was more than just a couple of feet away. And they say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. He saw them, and he does have pity on them. And he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. So all of them were cleansed. Why would they go and show themselves to the priests? Well, to make sure that they were healed, because the priest would be the one who would decide if they were healed. Today, we'd say, go and show yourself to the doctor. We offer prayer ministry in every single service on a Sunday here at St. George's. And if you came forward for prayer ministry with a broken arm and felt that during the prayer ministry, your arm in a cast was healed, there's no one here with a broken arm, is there? Good. I don't want you to think I'm picking on you if you were, so good. So imagine you're here, you've come for prayer, and your arm is healed, and you think, my arm is healed. What we would say to you would not be go and show yourself to the priest, although somebody might. It would be go to the doctor, get an x-ray, and only then will we believe that the bones have been healed. But then it was, go show yourself to the priest, because they would be the people who would know when the leprosy was completely gone. In their going, they were healed. Even as they walked away from Jesus, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And picking up on the theme of the story last week and the life groups last week about Samaritans, he was a Samaritan. And so he was one of the people who was an other, was despised and rejected by the Jewish religious folks. And for all sorts of reasons that you probably discussed at length in life group or know already. It was that person that came back and praised God. Jesus' answer, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where's everybody else? Where are they? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, the least likely, the least expected person was praising God for the miracle of his healing. What were the others doing? They were off, probably grateful they'd been healed, but on to the next thing. He said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. A reminder for us that as we come for prayer, as we pray on our own, that we're to give thanks. I don't know if you've ever done the exercise of writing down things you want to pray for. Maybe you have. Some people like to have a bookmark in their Bible and they write things down and then ticking them off once the prayer has been answered. And you'll find time and again, and not always as quickly as you'd like, in fact, if we're honest, typically not as quickly as we'd like, the prayers get answered. And I don't keep a list, because I'd probably lose it. So if you're not a list person, that's fine. Don't worry. But it's an interesting exercise, even if you do it for a short time. Write down what you're asking for prayer for, or the people you're asked to pray for, and then see how the response comes along. And as we do that, we realize that God hears our prayers. They're not always answered how we want. That's a subject for another day, but they are answered. We live in a world that's really bad at doing any of this, really bad at giving thanks. In fact, if you've been out and about on the streets, whether you go for a walk or a run or you have the dog or just driving around, you'll see that Halloween has crept into August and that people start putting pumpkins and ghosts and ghouls and goblins on the front decks of their houses from about the end of August. Why? Because that's when Dollarama decided we were going to do it. Other stores are doing it as well. And so, oh, I'm going to start doing this. And there's this kind of obsession that we can have with celebrating things that are evil. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, deliver us from evil, and then we stick ghosts on our houses. Obviously, I don't stick ghosts on my house because I'm a priest. Neither do I put gravestones on my house because we have a graveyard here. So, you know, people kind of wonder, why isn't the church more supportive of Halloween? And I like to remind them all the reasons, and there are many, that I don't enter into that stuff. And a lot of it is because this is what I do for work. If someone has a ghost in their house, who are they going to call? It's not Ghostbusters. It's the local Anglican priest. Even if they don't go to the Anglican church, we have a reputation and they call us. But so I mention this because I've noticed more and more this obsession with Halloween. What about if we spent some time giving thanks? What about if we spent time thanking God for the abundance of the harvest, which maybe looks like this absolutely beautiful display you can see here, or maybe it looks like the food that's ready to go to the food bank once it's been processed and easier to cook for folks. Either way, we thank God for the harvest. There's farming going on all around us. And I don't know if you've been to a farm lately. When you have children, you tend to go to farms. But even if you're a bit older, I would encourage you at least once a year, go to a farm. We went down to Chilliwack to a farm, a dairy farm, Creekside Creamery it's called. Well worth a day trip out there. The cheese is lovely. The coffee is amazing, and you know I like my coffee. Because they make the lattes with the milk that have come from their cows, and so on. And it was really good to kind of hear what the farmers go through to provide the food for us. So wherever it is, whatever kind of food, I'd encourage you to get out there and look. And in our prayer books in the Anglican Church, they're full of prayers. It's quite a rabbit hole if you're interested in looking. They're full of prayers about farming. There's prayers for rain. There's prayers for sunshine. Because through the years, food is really important to us. Not just because it looks nice, but because we need it to survive. And farmers really are dependent on so many things. And so in this season, let's take time to give thanks. To give thanks for all that God gives to us. To give thanks for our prayers that are answered. To give thanks for our families and our friends, to give thanks for the relative safety of the place where we live, to give thanks that we can come and join together on a day like today and worship together. Let's be people who are thankful, and to be people who are thankful for all that God has done for us. The gospel is summed up in that Jesus came to earth and lived a human life with all its highs and lows. He died on a cross, something like the one over here, to take away our sins. And through that, enabled us to come back to be with God, in relationship with God. All that's separated is put back together by Jesus. And so when we choose to step into that way of faith, God has rescued us. And so that is the greatest thing that we can be thankful for. And in the baptism service, we have a reminder, and we do an edited version because the service could go on a long time with a baptism. There's an awful lot of words. The people that write prayer books really know how to write. So there are longer versions than we use. But it's a reminder. In the cross I sign on the forehead of everyone who's baptized, that we too take up our cross, that it's because of the cross that we can come and we can approach. It's because of Jesus that we can come and raise our hands in worship, and we don't have to bow down because we're so afraid of God. He came and God was brought near to us in him. So we're thankful today. We're thankful for Ezra stepping into that way of faith, for his family and wider family for being here to support him. We're thankful that this is the story that we're all connected to and part of. We're thankful for our own baptisms. Maybe you don't remember yours because you were 1 or 2 years old or even younger. I think I was 3 months. I don't remember mine. But I do have a certificate, so I can prove it. And I was asked to prove it as well. When I got ordained as a priest, the diocesan lawyer requires that your baptism certificate is provided. And so this is something I tell every parent who's baptizing a child. Hold on to that, because if God wants them to be a priest, one day they're going to need it. What are you thankful for? Thankful for the cross? Thankful for your faith? Thankful for Jesus? Thankful for family, for food, for friends? Thankful for living in a safe place compared to much of the world? I went to House of James, the bookshop in Abbotsford, and I bought a book which I've put in the bookshop there. And it's called A Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks. And as I bought the book, I thought to myself, some of the people in our church might like to buy that book and give it to someone that they love. But that probably wouldn't be a loving thing to do, and then they'd have to come back and buy the books we've got on how to have a good marriage. So I'm not sure that you need to buy The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks, but for some of us, that's the opposite of thankfulness, isn't it? We can easily fall into grumbling. And so I'll finish with that as a reminder. If you do buy the book, by the way, I will not judge you, and neither will anyone else. It's there, and it's available. Let's focus this Thanksgiving on giving thanks. Thanks to God, praising him for all he has done for us in Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a time of response now, and the band are going to sing a couple of songs. The first one particularly picking up that theme of